This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Hey, a big thank you from all of us at Maryland Morning to everyone who became a member of WYPR during our pledge drive or amped up your membership. We're very grateful. It keeps us going. Thanks. Now we're going to talk about home births. As late as a century ago, most women gave birth at home with midwives present. Today in the U.S., about 1% of women have their babies out of hospitals and often at home, but that number is on the rise. The Centers for Disease Control, CDC, says home births rose by almost a third from 2004 to 2009. Today we'll look at a bill to make it legal for certified midwives to attend home births in Maryland. 28 other states already recognize and license midwives, but in Maryland, licensing has been stalled for years by disagreements between the medical establishment and advocates for midwives. Now, they seem to have reached a compromise. To get a clearer idea of how it might work, we contacted certified professional midwife Alexa Richardson. She's president of the Association of Independent Midwives in Maryland, and Alexa Richardson is with me in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sheila. Thank you so much for looking at this issue.
Let's start by hearing from a mother, Sarah Bregel, who had her first child, a daughter, in a hospital. 10 months ago, her son was delivered at home.
So my first birth, 5.5 years ago, I decided to have a hospital birth. I guess, actually, it wasn't even really a conscious decision. It just seemed like the thing to do. I think, most people, when you're having your first baby, you kind of assume that a hospital is probably going to be your safest bet. So that's what I assumed, and that's what I did. And I ended up really not feeling very safe during that birth. I had a lot of intervention that I didn't want or feel that I needed, and that really just made me feel pretty powerless during a very important day of my life.
Alexa, what are some other reasons that might prompt a family to choose a home birth instead of a hospital?
As Sarah said, most women are going to choose hospital birth. Most women feel safest in a hospital and all of that. But we do have very, very high rates of intervention now in hospitals. Maryland has a 35% cesarean section rate. So women choosing hospital birth are looking at over a 1 in 3 chance of having a major abdominal surgery. And some women want to be in a setting where they feel like they have the best chance possible to birth their baby normally. And midwives are the experts in normal. That's what we specialize in and what we study and what we know how to really support the physiological process of birth.
And so intervention is one of the things.
Mm-hmm.
What else might prompt someone to choose home birth?
You know, some women feel more comfortable being in a setting where they're surrounded by people that they know, a setting that's calm, where they have control over the atmosphere, and where they're very supported by the people around them. And another very important reason why women are choosing home birth is because of the strong evidence of safety. Particularly for low-risk women, home birth is shown to be as safe as hospital birth, but with much lower rates of intervention. And so increasingly, women are doing their research and choosing the type of birth that feels right to them.
We're going to get back to that safety question later, but I want to talk about the legislation. Tell us about the bill that passed in the House. What does it mean for women's birthing options in Maryland?
Well, our bill, which is sponsored by Delegate Arianna Kelly and Senator Mac Middleton, creates licensure for certified professional midwives under the Board of Nursing. So midwives who meet the qualifications set in the bill can apply for a license from the state and then can legally attend women at home births or in birth center births here in Maryland.
I want us to hear from Larry Polsky. He's an obstetrician gynecologist. As the bill was taking shape in the House, he testified on behalf of the Maryland Association of County Health Officers. Dr. Polsky argued that the standards for licensing set by the National College of Midwifery for certified professional nurse wives are not rigorous enough.
In order to qualify for licensure by this organization, a direct entry midwife needs to assist on 20 births and be a primary on 20 other births. During my residency, I delivered 20 births in 3 days. I would certainly not say that after 3 days of residency, I was qualified to make a decision as to who should be a low-risk birth and who should deliver at a hospital.
Briefly, what does he mean by a direct entry midwife?
So direct entry midwives are any type of midwife that trains to be a midwife without first becoming a nurse.
Okay. Dr. Polsky raises 2 points, it seems to me. One is how much experience a midwife should have, and second, how skilled she must be in assessing when a birth has become high risk. How did the legislation, how is it amended to take those points into account?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, unfortunately, Dr. Polsky's numbers are inaccurate. Certified professional midwives do a 3 to 5 year training. It's 5 stages of clinical experience that includes a minimum of 75 to 100 births, depending on the process that women go through. Also, these are births that midwives attend start to finish. They're not popping in and out of the room. As Dr. Polsky said, he attended 20 births in 3 days during residency. It's a major difference between midwifery training and physician training is that he's popping in and out of the room maybe for a couple minutes of each birth and then coming in at the end to catch the baby. Actually, the numbers of clinical births that midwives are required to attend during their training are higher than the numbers of births that certified nurse midwives are required to attend or that family practice physicians who attend births are required to attend. So the numbers of births for midwives are really substantial that they have to do.
Was the legislation amended in terms of the educational requirements?
We didn't have to amend it with regards to the clinical requirements, because everyone at the table agreed that the actual clinical requirements for certified professional midwives are very strong.
And what about the point about deciding when a birth has become dangerous? Was there something written in the legislation to address that?
Absolutely, yes. The legislation has very specific and very high safety standards written into the bill. It contains lists of specific conditions and scenarios where transfer is required. So even though the midwife training does a really good job of covering those issues, we've taken the extra step in this bill of legislating it so that when a circumstance arises where medical care is needed, we make sure in the bill that that woman is going to get to the hospital and get the care she needs.
On 88.1, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Alexa Richardson, a certified midwife who's president of the Association of Independent Midwives of Maryland. She's been lobbying for a bill to allow more midwives to attend home births. As I understand it, the other big amendment had to do with mothers who have previously given birth by cesarean section. Tell me about that.
That's correct. In order to move the bill forward this year, we did have to make a major compromise or concession, and that was around the issue of vaginal birth after cesarean. So these are mothers— Which is called VBAC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So these are mothers who've had a previous cesarean section, and then for a subsequent birth are hoping to have a vaginal birth. These women have very, very few options in Maryland. In 2012, hospitals in 50% of the counties in Maryland performed 0 vaginal births after cesarean. So even though it's often recommended that women who've had a previous C-section try for a vaginal birth afterwards, because it can, you know, if they achieve it, it's a healthier outcome for them. Women actually don't have access to that option very much in Maryland. So many women seek this in the out-of-hospital setting. It's a huge number of women we're talking about. So we were very disappointed that we were not able to include these women in this bill. But we are committed to continuing to fight for women to have care in an out-of-hospital setting in Maryland.
And why was that such a sticking point?
I can't speak for the opposition, but they did cite safety as a concern. The data on vaginal birth after cesarean is very clear. It's a very low-risk procedure. The level of risk involved in a vaginal birth after cesarean is about the same as the level of risk of other common emergency complications in birth, like placenta abruption and cord prolapse and other such complications that every woman has a small risk of an emergency situation. And the vaginal birth after cesarean risk is of a similar level.
Alexa, nurse midwives, as opposed to certified professional midwives, typically practice in hospitals. How common is it for nurse midwives to attend home births?
Unfortunately, it's very uncommon. And in Maryland, we only have about 6 certified nurse midwives who are doing home births specifically. these are great midwives and we love them, but they are simply not meeting the demand of Maryland women. And Maryland women also want access to these specialized providers, certified professional midwives who specialize specifically in out-of-hospital care.
As you know better than I, there's been a contentious debate nationwide over whether home births are less safe than hospital births. You mentioned it earlier. Dr. Polsky, the obstetrician gynecologist, contends home births are riskier.
The CDC did a very large study looking at 4 years of data, almost 14 million births across the United States. They compared home births to births done in licensed birthing centers and in hospitals, and they found the mortality rate, neonatal mortality rate, and home births 3 times the level in licensed birthing facilities and in hospitals. This translates to 1 preventable death per 1,000 births. In addition, births done at home had 4 times the level of neonatal seizures and other types of brain injury. And I would point out that these births were pre-selected to be low risk. So if anything, we would have expected the home births to have lower rates of complications, not the higher rates that we're seeing.
In your view, are hospital births safer than home births?
Absolutely not. When we're talking about low-risk women, we have strong prospective studies, many of them showing that home birth is as safe as hospital birth for low-risk women. People often get confused, and the study that Dr. Polsky cites is an example of this kind of confusion, by looking at data that includes unplanned out-of-hospital births. So if you include births where a mom had her baby on the side of the road, or somebody birthed, you know, a teenager birthed in a bathroom stall, or, you know, any kind of out-of-hospital birth in the numbers, then you get the kinds of data that Dr. Polsky's referring to. But if you look at well-controlled, good prospective studies on home birth outcomes, where they track mothers from the beginning of their pregnancy through to the end and they look at what the outcomes are, there's no question at this point with the data that we have that home birth is a safe, low-risk option for low-risk mothers.
Thank you so much for talking to us about it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Alexa Richardson. She's a certified professional midwife and president of the Association of Independent Midwives of Maryland. She's been lobbying for a bill to allow more midwives to attend home births. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Also, more of this interview. I'm Sheila Cast, ahead on Maryland Morning, reflections from Baltimore's grassroots. Stay tuned to 88.1.